Well, let's go ahead and take a moment to dismiss our children for Children's Church. So any who are 4 years old up through second grade can head out the doors into room 107. Well, it's been a weekend full of music here at the church. On Friday night, the ambassador class had their annual Christmas dinner. And after the food was served, the walls led them in some music, one on the piano and one leading the songs, and just took some good amount of time singing some Christmas songs and celebrating the season and the coming of Christ into the world. Last night, then, many people participated in caroling, and there was enough for two groups that went out to many homes of people in our church, some of them shut in. And we're able to bless them with music again, singing some Christmas songs to many. And then today, you know, we just heard a number of great, wonderful songs from the voices of our children. And can we just maybe say it this way? An abundance of music is a good thing. Abundance of music is a great thing. God's gift of music blesses us. It blesses us in a lot of ways. It calms us. It instructs us. It cheers us. It awakens us. And it comforts us. You know, in short, it brings heaven to our hearts. Colossians 3:16 in the New Testament tells us to sing. We're to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And then we sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's the person and the work of Christ that invites the voice of our songs. And I would say this, specifically, it is the birth of Christ that seems to command the most attention. The most amount of songs, the most music written is about the birth of Christ, the incarnation of God coming into the world. Recently, I found a fascinating website by Daniel Mount, I'm sorry. And if you could go to that slide here for a moment, John. This is an interesting website of a man who has really attempted to catalog all of the songs, and either with specific reference to a verse in Scripture or a thematic theme, so a theological theme that would be tied to that Scripture. And so he puts them into categories based upon this. And in preparation for the sermon today and in thinking about music and the part that it plays in our lives as Christians, I was keenly interested to look at Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2 and to see how many songs have been written or would be referenced in those two chapters. And I was blown away by what I found. Just on this man's website and just by the research that he's done, in Luke chapter 1, there have been 228 songs alone that he could find attached to the verses in Luke chapter 1. And that's not even the most popular of those two chapters. Luke chapter 2, which gives the very popular and well-known Christmas story about there being a decree that went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Luke chapter 2, he compiled 454 songs directly related to Luke chapter 2. And there's just a small sampling of it up on the screen in front of you. And you could see maybe some of the more well-known songs, a few of them that we even sung this morning. There's always been and there continues to be great interest in the incarnation of Jesus. The fact that as humans, as sinners before a holy God, we needed help. We need help. God sent that help in the person of Jesus Christ to restore them in their relationship to God. With this great abundance of music to express the heart's joy and celebration. And that's exactly what music does. It's exactly the music that we've heard this morning, that we've sung this morning. It captures the beauty and the wonder of God's grace and His mercy and His hope and the joy that we have of a God who descended to earth to put on flesh and to redeem fallen sinners. Today, we're going to be taking a step back from the modern Christian music and Christmas music, and we're going to reach all the way back to the ancient Christmas songs. We're going to be looking at four of them, because in Luke chapter 1 and 2, we find four ancient Christmas songs, if you will, one by Mary, one by Zechariah, one by Simeon, and one by the angels who were singing heaven's song to the earth. I've titled this morning's message, Songs of Jesus. These aren't all necessarily songs to Jesus. They are all songs of Jesus and about Jesus. We worship a triune God who has salvation as his plan. And so as the Father would send the Son, and the Spirit would strengthen him to do his work, these are songs of Jesus. They are songs of salvation of the triune God. Let me mention just two quick things briefly before we jump into Luke chapter 1. All four of these songs that we're going to be looking at this morning are songs of transition. They are songs of the old covenant transitioning through Christ, who is the new covenant. And so there is going to be content of finding fulfillment in the new covenant of Jesus Christ. And so these songs have that transition flavor, if you will. But secondly, we're going to be calling all of these songs, even though some of them are poetry. In ancient times, there really was no distinction of poetry that we might make today. It could have been a poetic prayer or a poetic song. It would have been classified in the same way. So we're not going to make that hard and fast distinction of what might have been poetry, whether it was sung in tune or not. They're all sort of blended together. So we're calling these songs this morning. Let's look at this first song that comes out of Luke chapter 1. This is a poem or a song, if you will, of Mary. And the theme of this song is the wonder of God's favor. The wonder of God's favor, where Mary contemplates God's grace and God's favor on her for a couple of different reasons. Look with me now at Luke chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 46. Luke 1, 46 says, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has looked on the humble estate of his servant, for behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name.'" I want us to consider these first four verses of Mary's song separately from the rest, because they're written from a personal vantage point. Mary is using the first person here, and she's speaking of her own great joy as she considers the Lord's favor on her. She writes of God's favor in two ways. The first, the God of her salvation, that God would personally save her. She says, "My soul rejoices in God, my Savior." And then secondly, she rejoices in God's favor to employ her in his work. She says, "He has done great things for me." She carries the Messiah in her womb. That is a tremendous thought. Mary's attitude here as she rejoices in the favor of God to employ her in his work, her attitude is that she's exemplifying all believers and all of our attitudes when considering God's favor on our lives. The fact that God would look upon any of us with grace, that he would look upon any of us with favor for salvation or to use us for his kingdom, it leaves us humbled and rejoicing, much like it did here with Mary. Now, I just wonder, by way of question here, do you remember the humbling circumstances of God calling you unto salvation? Do you remember that moment? Were you broken with wonder and humility that God would call you and his saving grace would be put upon you? Mary considered these blessings of God's favor and she expressed them in song. But we read on because she's now going to grab not just a sense of joy and delight in her soul, magnifying the Lord personally, but she's going to wrap her arms around the entire believing community, and she's going to thank the Lord for his favor on all, beginning in verse 50. And his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Mary's now speaking for the entire believing community, and she shifts in her tone to include everyone. She's speaking about the great reversal of fortune for those who belong to God, that God scatters the proud, he brings down the mighty, he sends the greedy rich away empty, but for his own, those who belong to God, he fills them with good things. These things may not take place immediately, as fortunes and outcomes for believers look out of balance for a time, but for God's people, his goodness comes, and it comes to us in its fullness in due time. And so here it is, believers, sing of the wonder of God's favor that is bestowed upon us. Maybe a modern Christmas song would capture it this way. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love. That is the song of Mary, our first song this morning. We take a look at the second song that we're considering this morning. It is the song of Zechariah. The song of Zechariah, and here he lifts his song to the Lord for the strength of his salvation and the tender mercy that God shows to his people. Look with me in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 67. This is Zechariah's song. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." We'll take a rest stop here for just a moment and notice what Zechariah is writing about. We remember that Zechariah is the father of John, who preached and prepared the way for Jesus. When the angel announced to him that he would have a son, at first Zechariah did not believe it. He and his wife were both old and up in age, and he didn't believe the angel's word, so he struck with temporary muteness. But after John was born, his speech was restored, and these are his first words: "Blessed be the Lord. He has visited his people. God has raised up," or God has given them, "a horn of salvation," Scripture says. And this horn is an important symbol. It represents the strength of God. If you can imagine a strong and sturdy horn on an animal, it represents might and power and glory. And so to have the horn of salvation being raised up is exactly the same idea. It's the might of salvation. It's the power and the glory that Zechariah's son, John, would prepare the way for Jesus, who is the strong horn of salvation. He is strong in might. He is strong in power. He is strong in glory. We read on to the rest of Zechariah's song here, beginning in verse 72, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord and prepare his ways to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Though Jesus Christ displays great strength and salvation, Zechariah sings here of the fact that he will also show tender mercy to his people. And what beautiful imagery Zechariah uses to describe this long night of darkness that is finally coming to an end. The light breaks through, the sunrise emerges on the horizon, and the shadow of death, the shadow of hopelessness disappears. In Christ, God's tender mercy awakens the lifeless soul. I wonder here this morning if you've ever experienced such a long and dreadful night that you are just looking forward to the sunrise to know that it would just be a new day, a different day. The world on that day broke into a new day when Christ was born, and we beheld in him the tender mercy of God. This is what Zechariah wrote about. A modern song capturing the same idea. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born. We've looked at Mary. We've looked at Zechariah. Let's now consider this song of Simeon here in Luke chapter 2. We cross the page into Luke chapter 2, and we look at this man named Simeon. We see beginning in verse 25, his song of Jesus. Luke 2, beginning in verse 25, he's going to write for the comfort of this promise fulfilled, the comfort that it brought to Simeon to see this Christ breaking into the new day, breaking into this world. Verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. There's so many interesting things going on here with Simeon. Verse 25 tells us that he was a man in waiting. He was waiting well. He was waiting with devotion to the Lord. You know, some people grow frustrated with waiting, and they might scrap the cause that they were waiting for altogether, but not Simeon. He was waiting faithfully for Israel to be comforted and visited by God. And so here he is faithfully going about his business. He's attending to the temple in prayer. And along comes Jesus. We read of this, that Jesus, his parents brought him to the temple to fulfill the custom of the law, that he would be dedicated. He was the firstborn from the womb of Mary, and he was to be dedicated. This is likely about 40 days after his birth. And Simeon sees him, and he knows the significance of this occasion. He understands the magnitude, and he takes baby Jesus into his arms, and he blesses him with this song. And the struggle of Simeon, the struggle of his waiting, and the struggle of the world, and the world's waiting was over. It was over because of Jesus. Eyes had finally been able to see faith's hope, to see faith's expectation. And this wasn't just salvation for Israel. It would be a message of salvation. It was a message of a Savior for all peoples in all the world. And we're told here that Simeon was at total peace. He was at total peace to see Jesus. What a way to describe it. Lord, I can depart in peace, he says, because you have shown me your salvation. You have shown me your Savior. The promise was fulfilled. The wonder and the personal closeness of Christ incarnate coming to the earth, this promise was finally fulfilled. These truths bring the heart total comfort. They bring the heart total comfort and eternal peace. A modern song that would capture this same idea is, O Come All Ye Faithful. Yes, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. O come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We take a final look at our fourth song this morning. This is the song of the angels. This is a song for the joy that comes from peace, the peace that Christ gives. We see this final song in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. Let's read these verses now. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you news of a great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Our final song comes from heavenly hosts, or Scripture says a multitude of angels. Here is the context as the shepherds were out in the field watching over their flocks at night, and an angel delivers a message to them. It was a message that a Savior had been born, and his name was Jesus. It was the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord. They were to make their way to see him, but first there would be an angelic choir that would sing a special message. This was a song from the heavens. This was literally heaven's worship. And it's to be imitated on earth. These angels led the way. This was worship in heaven by the angels, but it was breaking forth on earth for humans to see. The angels were giving proper and suitable and right glory to God, and then declare that peace has come to earth. Brothers and sisters, this is the peace of salvation. This is the peace of a heart being set right with God. This is the peace of knowing that sins are washed away. This is a peace of being restored to our Creator, whom we had turned against. This is the peace of salvation. It's the peace of reconciliation that Jesus brings between sinful man and holy God, and is the peace that only He can bring. We cannot create this peace on our own. This is a salvific peace that that angels can only long to look into. But it's a peace that's experienced by all those whom God calls to himself, by all those, the verse says, with whom he is pleased, by all those whose hearts and souls have been redeemed. Brothers and sisters, we need to joyfully remember this peace that we have. On our longest, and on our darkest, and on our worst, and on our hardest days, they cannot disturb the peace that we have through Christ. He is our soul's peace. One final modern song, actually two songs, would capture this passage here well, would capture the theme of this song well. Hark the herald angels sing, and angels from the realms of glory. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. And then angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight over all the earth. Ye who sang creation's, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. What a great compilation and collection of songs of Jesus in these two chapters. And you know, there's so much competition this year as we end and get into the last month of a closing year of 2023. There's so much competition for your time and your attention, and it seems to even ramp up during this time of year. But brothers and sisters, let's settle and let us slow our minds and our hearts and not leave the message today without a proper reminder to let songs of joy, to let songs of Jesus work their work in our hearts and in our minds. Let's slow down and remember to sing of his favor, to sing of his salvation, to sing of his tender mercy, to sing of his comfort and promises, to sing of his peace. Let the joy of God put these songs in our heart. Let them live with us. Let us sing of Jesus being born in the likeness of mankind to save us from sin's curse and to bring us to God. Let us, this Christmas season, let these songs of Jesus live in our hearts. Let's close our time in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for these inspired praises, praises that look to you and look to the triune God of all of your love and plan of salvation for us, and especially as they celebrate Christ breaking into this earth, of putting on flesh, walking a road of mission, walking a road of curse borne upon his shoulders, walking a road of death on the cross, but not remaining there, of being raised forevermore for the forgiveness of our sins and our restoration to God in heaven. We thank you for these praises that we've both heard and participated in this morning. Lord, might you press these praises of Jesus on our hearts. It's in his name we pray these things. Amen.